You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll get there in just a minute. Anybody familiar with the comedian Stephen Wright? He's real deadpan, monotone kind of a guy. He says, "I bought one of those tapes that teach you Spanish in your sleep. During the night, the tape skipped. Now I can only stutter in Spanish." And then somebody else says, "After hearing a sermon on Psalm 52, which is about lying and deceit, a man wrote the IRS, 'I cannot sleep knowing that I have cheated on my income tax. Enclosed is a check for $150. If I still can't sleep, I'll send in the rest.'" Yeah. Standards today, right? Well, we're in a series called WWJD, or What Would Jesus Do? And so far we've talked about the character of Christ-likeness and the conduct of Christ-likeness, and we just want to be more like Jesus. And to be more like Jesus, we need to be selfless and humble and obedient, and we are to be servants who trust God and live for righteousness. That's pretty much what we've covered so far. Now, today I want to talk about the conditions of Christ-likeness, and this is where we are in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17 through the end of the chapter. And if you would, please stand. This is the way we honor the Word of God, and we just kind of establish it's an authority in our lives. I will read, and you can follow along. It says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." All right, you may be seated. Very good practical passage for us today, talking about Christ's likeness. And here we're hearing from the Apostle Paul. However, we need to remember that before he was the Apostle Paul, he was the Pharisee Saul. Okay? He was a man who hated Jesus and his followers. In fact, in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 9, we find that this Pharisee Saul is actually taking the followers of Jesus to court, putting them in prison, and ultimately having some of them killed. This is the man. He hated Jesus' teachings, and he hated Jesus' people. But now here we are in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're hearing from him the same man. Okay? He is now the Apostle Paul. This is the man who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And he has now become radically transformed. Although he's the same person, something has radically changed in his life because he met Jesus. The Holy Spirit changed him from hostile to humble, from murderer to minister, from killing disciples to now loving and teaching them. And when we understand the radical transformation that took place in his life when he encountered the the resurrected Jesus Christ, it helps us better understand and relate to this concept of putting off the old and putting on the new, because Paul himself had done it. He had put off the old and put on the new. However, it isn't simply about dry rules and responsibilities. You know, if we ignore this putting off of the old and putting on the new, we're really setting ourselves up for failure. When God reveals his desire for our life, it only becomes a reality when we abandon our own desires in exchange for his. We need to make a switch. There needs to be a change in our lives. Think about it like this. Ungodliness comes very naturally. Right? You don't have to try very hard at all to be ungodly. But Christ-likeness does not come very naturally. We have to work at that. We have to ask God to help us with that. So, in other words, we need to come to know Christ and learn his ways. We need to know Jesus more. And Christ-likeness is supposed to affect every area of our life. Christ-likeness doesn't just mean, well, I go to church every week. It means every aspect of your life should be affected by Christ. There should be humility and holiness, faithfulness and forgiveness, evangelism and empathy, love and long-suffering. Those things don't come real easily, but they are part of the Christ-like character that we want developed in us. Now, this is a high calling. It's not for wimps. It's hard to be Christ-like. It's not easy. In fact, some aspects of Christ-likeness seem passive and weak. You know, when we talk about humility and that, on the surface it can seem passive and weak, but in reality it's meek and powerful, because it's not easy to be Christ-like. It's hard to be Christ-like. It takes some strength and some determination to be Christ-like. It's more than just a code of ethics or standards of behavior. It's about who you are at the core. Who are you really, deep down inside? In verse 24, it says here that we are called to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what it says. Really? We're supposed to be like God in true righteousness and holiness? Yep, that's what the Bible says. That's a high calling. So how do we meet those standards? Just 2 points today. Real simple. Number one, put off your old self. Okay? The old self. Think about that. If you've come to Christ, every one of us who's come to Christ has a past. Some have a very dark past. Others, not so much. But the bottom line is, we all have a past. And in reality, before we came to Christ, our old self was separated from God. That's the way it was. The old nature was confused. Here it talks about in the futility of our thinking. There was an emptiness. There was a lack of purpose in our life. There was confusion. You know, this is the illusion that living a life of sin and self-absorption can bring satisfaction. And many of you have tried that. Can I get a witness? This kind of self-absorption, doing everything all for myself, I've tried it, okay? But when you try to satisfy that emptiness in your heart with temporary things, you get temporary results, okay? Sex, food, drugs, power, money, all those things ultimately leave you empty, and you will need more. It takes eternity and infinity to fill the human heart. The search for satisfaction that, you know, there's even songs written about it. Wasn't satisfaction, I can't get no satisfaction, you know, that old song. Yeah, there's a longing inside the human heart that wants to be satisfied with something, and these temporary things just don't do it. You cannot really fulfill the emptiness in your heart anywhere else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the old self had a confused way of thinking. The old self also had a closed mind. Here it talks about being separated from the life of God. Here, this is an unwillingness to look at truth and acknowledge it. In Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2, it makes it clear that really in the core, everybody knows that there's a God. Even the atheist, somewhere deep down in his core, he knows there's a God. He just doesn't want to acknowledge it. Okay? In fact, you know, some of our popular movies, even, you know, they'll talk about a force. Star Wars fans. Okay? You know, and all these different things, there's a knowledge that there's something else out there. But it's still a separation from God until we acknowledge the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word ignorance comes from a Greek word where we get our word agnostic. Okay? It means without knowledge. So those that celebrate being agnostic are really saying they are without knowledge of God. The old self had a closed mind. It wasn't open to hearing from God. The old self also was a corrupted life. This is the lifestyle of instead of controlling your desires control you. And they become the only direction. You just follow whatever urge you have today, that's what we're going to do. That's a corrupted lifestyle. And we see this in our culture. It's having the mentality that everything is acceptable and there is no such thing as wrong or right. Does that sound familiar to you? That's our culture today, okay? And we see this idea of indulging just anything goes. We see it in a freedom with abortion, adultery, premarital sex, lying, cheating, stealing, gossip, gluttony, and the list just keeps going on and on and on. And so many think there's nothing wrong with any of those things because there is no right or wrong. It's the absence of moral restraint and discipline. Like our memory verse said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. See, the old self was a corrupted lifestyle. The old self was also a calloused heart. Here it talks about the hardening of the heart and having lost all sensitivity. That's a pretty graphic picture. You know, it's just an attitude of, I just don't care. I don't give a rip. Kind of that calloused heart. It's an inability, an unwillingness to respond to God's truth. God's truth is there, and yet the calloused heart just resists it. It can't let anything in. Our society and world today are always trying to find ways to distort or even deny the truth. And there's a story a few years ago about a major international company who was looking for a marketing director. A mathematician, a statistician, and a solicitor entered the final selection process. The first to be interviewed was the mathematician. And the managing director asked him a simple question. What is 2 + 2? And the mathematician was surprised, thought about it for a bit, and wondered if it might be a trick question. But then he simply answered, 4. The managing director looked at the board, shook his head, thanked him for coming, but he wasn't the candidate they were looking for. The statistician was next, and the managing director asked him the simple question, what is 2 + 2? He paused, thought about it for a bit, and then replied that statistically, it was a number between 3 and 5. The managing director smiled, and the board was quite impressed, but the candidate was thanked and ushered out. The last candidate, the solicitor, was next, and the managing director asked him the simple question, what is 2 + 2? Without batting an eyelid, he replied, what do you want it to be? And was promptly hired on the spot. That's kind of a picture of the calloused heart that just doesn't care about the truth. I'm just shut out to all of that. That's part of the old nature. So be careful. If you ignore or continually disobey God, you can move to a point of no return. Your heart can become hard and unresponsive to God. And the more you move away from God, the harder the heart becomes. That's the old self. It's been said you need to separate yourself from the world or the world will separate you from fellowship with God. We need to put off this old self. All these descriptions, they need to go. So what's the solution? We have to simply abandon the old life. Abandon the old life. Adopt and accept the new standard. In fact, in verses 25 through 27, it paints a clear picture of the patterns that we're to abandon. Falsehood, anger, stealing, even unwholesome talk, bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, malice, unforgiveness. Those things we just need to let go of. Stop it. Put off the old. It's been said, we are in the world, but not of the world. Think of it like this. A boat in the water can be pleasurable and constructive and useful, but too much water in the boat and you got a problem. Likewise, the Christian in the world is there to make a difference, but too much of the world in the Christian and you've got big problems. We need to put off the old. Really, we're just talking about getting rid of sinful things, sinful patterns that, as we started, come so naturally to us. We need to put those off. Oswald Chambers talks about sin, and he said, sin is not weakness. It is not a disease. It is red-handed rebellion against God. And the magnitude of that rebellion is expressed by Calvary. How serious is sin? It's serious enough for our Lord Jesus Christ to be murdered on a cross. That's how serious the old nature is. 1 Peter 1:14 says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. All those patterns have been kind of imprinted on us all of our life, but now that we've come to Christ, we need to put those aside. Put off the old. Billy Sunday says, one reason sin flourishes is that it is treated like a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake. It's the truth. We need to see our sin for what it really is. It's a barrier between us and God. For you motorheads out there, it's like corrosion on the battery posts of your car. There's not a good connection and you turn the key and nothing happens. You got to get that corrosion off of there. The sin needs to come off. For you geeks out there, it's like a corrupted computer file. It just throws everything off. And it's like cancer to the bones. It'll just eat you up and it ultimately leads to death. That's the true nature of sin. And we need to put off the old self. Somebody said, to forsake sin is to leave it without any thought of returning to it again. Or you can think about Lord of the Rings, the movie Lord of the Rings. The ring corrupts. So get rid of the ring. The old nature corrupts. We need to put off the old nature. Number two, put on the new. Put on the new self. Believers, we are to adopt a surrendered spiritual life. You didn't learn about Jesus by living according to the patterns of the self-centered, ungodly lifestyle. You learned about the truth that is in Jesus. And because of that, it should be changing your moral, ethical, and relational standards. In your relationship with Jesus, the old standards are not adequate. You need a whole new you. A whole new you needs to come about. In verse 20 here, it speaks about knowing Christ. And I want to say to you, this is how transformation really comes. Not by trying harder, but by knowing Jesus more. That's how you really are transformed into Christ-likeness. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. In other words, the more we have Jesus in front of us and in our eyes and on our minds, the more we are transformed into that same image. You know, it's said that a lot of times spouses start to look like each other in their old age because they've copied each other's mannerisms and things over the years, and so you can see they've been married a long time. They finish each other's sentences, and they even look alike. Well, it's kind of the same way with Jesus. The more time we spend with him, the more it will change us. That's how we're transformed. So if you keep falling back into your old ways, you need more of Jesus. More of Jesus means that there will be a renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word transformed is metamorphosis. It's to change into something entirely new. It's like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. They don't look anything alike. And yet we know that there's a sequence of events that led to that happening. Or for you sci-fi geeks out there like me, Bruce Banner becomes the Incredible Hulk. A radical transformation. They don't look anything alike. Totally changed. That's how we are to be transformed, by the renewing of our mind. There's a renovation, a cleaning, a repair, a rebuilding that needs to go on in our minds. The way we think has been so imprinted with the old life that it needs to change, the way we think. You see, God doesn't just want to add Jesus to your life. He wants to make a whole new you with Jesus as the pattern. Now, here are some practical ways to change your thinking. Recognize the source of your thoughts and attitudes. If they are pure and holy and beautiful, those are the things you should think on. If they're ugly and dirty, then you need to abandon them. This seems like a no-brainer, duh, kind of a thing. But we need to say it from time to time and remind ourselves from time to time. We need to pay attention to what we're thinking. You know, the loudest ethical influences in our society today are celebrities. Singers, actors, athletes, talk show hosts. If we let them do our thinking for us, we will lose our identity in Christ. We need to learn to listen to wiser voices and to think for ourselves. We have to take conscious, deliberate care of our interior life. We have to be diligent about it. We have to turn up the volume on God and turn down the volume on society. We must take time to reflect and meditate and evaluate in order to make sure that we are dancing to God's rhythms. Here's another thought. Just simply reckon your old nature crucified with Christ and remember who you are. Okay? I think, and I get reminded of this from time to time from one of you, that if we focus too much on what we used to be, we can kind of get stuck there. We need to be reminded and remember who we are now. I'm blood-bought, saved believer. That old nature is not really me anymore. Now, it might still kind of come naturally, but I need to remind myself that's not who I am. This is who I am. So reckon your old nature dead. You know, Galatians 2:20 says that. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but he lives in me. We need to see it that way. I am a follower of Jesus. That's not who I was. Now I am. Remember who you are. In fact, we used to say that to our kids once in a while when they would be going out to hang out with friends. We'd say, remember who you are. You're a Waldo. That means something. Remember who you are. And as believers, we need to remember who we are. We are, according to the scripture, we are saints. We are the righteousness of God. That's who we are. And sometimes we just need to stop and think about that. And when we're tempted to go in the old ways, we have to kind of say, that is not me. That's not who I am anymore. And so I'm going to walk in the righteous ways because that's who I am now. And then run from temptation. Pretty simple. Run from temptation. When something comes up that's tempting and you know it's the wrong thing, don't just try to filter it out or kind of hold it at bay, you know, like this, real up close. Run away instead. And then we also need to remember that transformation takes a lifetime. Transformation happens when we start choosing to listen to a different drummer. Now, of course, putting off and putting on is not as easy as changing CDs. Okay? The key, I love this, is to get close enough to Jesus to share the headphones. You want to hear that different drum beat. Get close enough to Jesus that you're sharing the headphones. And the transformation will take a lifetime, but it happens as we walk with Jesus. And so we need then to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to reveal all truth. God also provides the Holy Spirit to seal and strengthen us against the spiritual foes that we face. And the Spirit empowers us to follow and live like Jesus. Every command that Jesus gives, the Spirit enables us to live out. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is given so that you can be obedient to the commands of God. Some of the commands of God we hear and we're like, what? I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit enables you to do that, so you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And if you are living under the standard that Jesus gives, then first of all, double check your salvation. And second of all, surrender to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will empower you to live up to the standards that God has set. You see, it's all about becoming more and more like Christ. Christianity is worth very little if it doesn't change your lifestyle. I've said this before. We are not just a social club. If we didn't have Jesus and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, what really makes us any different than any other group of people? Not much. But because of Jesus and what he's done for us and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, it makes us different kind of people. And somebody wrote this short story, and they heard about, actually it was a friend of theirs who had gone to a large city, and they saw a tramp and decided to help him. He noticed that the guy was wearing a dirty old coat, and it was ripped and fit only to be thrown away in the bin. So his friend offered the tramp his coat. The tramp took it. But to his friend's surprise, instead of taking off the old coat and putting on the new, he just simply put the new coat straight on top of his old coat. And sadly, like that, too many Christians behave the same way. They want the new things of Christ, but don't want to let go of the old things of self and sin. And that is not the way it works. God wants to make a whole new you. So you got to put off the old and put on the new. You know, when Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, they were officially free from their years of servitude. But some of them went on living as if they were still slaves. The president's proclamation gave them legal standing as free citizens. It was a done deal. They were no longer slaves. But out of habit and way of thinking, many of these poor people still lived like slaves. So they needed to live in accordance with the new facts. When they were tempted to think like a slave, they needed to say, no, the truth is I am now a free man. They needed to appropriate that truth into their daily experience and live by the new standard. And it's the same for us, church. We have, there's an old nature that we are all so familiar with, and it still wants to creep up on us and stick out its ugly head from time to time, and we need to say, no, that is not me. I am a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I put off the old, and I put on the new. I become more like Jesus every day. That's the conditions of Christ-likeness. To know Jesus more and more. Put off the old. Put on the new. We can do it. As we cooperate with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know him more and more, we can become more like Jesus. It's really possible. I know most of us would say, I got a long ways to go. And I'd be at the front of the line saying, I got a long ways to go. But I know if I spend more time with Jesus and I apply these principles, I will become more like Jesus. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the instruction today of putting off the old and putting on the new. And I pray that you would work in us and help us, God, to do exactly that, to remember who we are, a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to follow you wholeheartedly. Lord, we understand the key is really knowing you more. That's the key. It's not so much trying harder, but knowing you more. So God, help us with that. Give us grace to know you more and to be transformed into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.